Good evening, with a look at your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. The Customs and Border Control Service has confirmed that two Cuban male migrants escaped the Immigration Detention Center at Fairbanks on Saturday. One of the men has since returned voluntarily, but the second remains at large. CBC says it is working alongside the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service and other partner agencies to locate the outstanding escapee and maintain public safety. At this stage, authorities say there is no indication that the individual poses a danger to the community. Officials are reminding the public that assisting or harboring an illegal migrant or helping anyone enter or leave the Cayman Islands unlawfully is a serious offense under the Customs and Border Control Act. Convictions can result in fines of up to $50,000 and imprisonment for up to 7 years. CBC is urging anyone with information to contact 911, the CBC Intelligence Hotline, or the nearest police station. The Ministry of Planning, Lands, Agriculture, Housing and Infrastructure has opened a major market opportunity for the development of the new submarine cable infrastructure project in the Cayman Islands. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
A notice of opportunity has now been published on the government's bonfire procurement portal as part of the submarine cable modernization project. The initiative seeks qualified international organizations to design, build, operate, and commercialize new fiber optic cable links to Grand Cayman, with an option for an additional connection between Cayman Brac and Grand Cayman. The project aims to boost resilience, increase redundancy, and support the long-term security of the island's international telecommunications network. Minister Jay Ebanks said in today's release and also in last December's parliamentary session, resilient connectivity is essential for economic stability, national security, and daily life, adding that the government is looking for experienced global partners with the technical and financial strength to deliver critical national infrastructure in today's release and also.
My ministry has already held detailed discussions with many potential commercial partners to understand the market and the possibilities. We have also worked to develop a stringent set of requirements to ensure any solution is fit for purpose as a critical nation infrastructure and to ensure that the government's commercial partner will have the strength and stability to match the reliance that will be placed on them.
Applicants must demonstrate proven experience in submarine cable systems or international telecoms networks, a strong corporate structure, and completion of a non-disclosure agreement. Successful respondents will advance to the request for proposals stage, which is already prepared and ready for release. Government is not seeking to enter the telecoms market directly, but is prepared to offer a one-time grant subsidy to support delivery of the project. The deadline for submissions is the 2nd of March, 2026. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Thank you, Elizabeth. In other local news, the Department of Environment is assuring the public that shark bites are, quote, extremely rare after a researcher was bitten recently. On Friday evening at the Nassau Grouper spawning aggregation site in Little Cayman, a researcher was bitten by a juvenile tiger shark, approximately 7 feet long and 3 years old.
The researcher, who is a member of the Department of Environment's partner research team, was flown to Georgetown Hospital, treated for the injury, and is recovering well.
The team includes both fish and shark scientists who are trained professionals, and they manage the situation, quote, efficiently and safely.
While this incident was not expected, it is natural for sharks to be attracted to the activity of a fish aggregation site, and a young shark is less likely to have experience with groupers and divers. The inexperience, coupled with the poor visibility of the site, the young shark mistakenly bit the diver. But since sharks do not consider humans as food, it fled and did not pursue. We'd like to reassure people that shark bites are an extremely rare occurrence, particularly in Cayman waters. The risk of a shark mistaking a diver, swimmer, or snorkeler as food is highly unlikely.
DOE and partner researchers have been conducting annual surveys in Little Cayman for 25 years, logging thousands of dives, and this is the first time this has happened. Kenrick Trent Gordon Whitaker has avoided immediate jail time after admitting he used WhatsApp to harass a woman with a series of degrading and threatening messages. The court heard that the abuse continued for 9 months, even though the pair were no longer together at the time. Whitaker, who already has 3 previous convictions for similar behavior and another for common assault, pled guilty to using an ICT network to abuse, annoy, and harass the woman. His lawyer asked the chief magistrate not to record a conviction, but that request was firmly rejected. In delivering the sentence, the chief magistrate, the Honorable Angeline Hernandez, said Whitaker's messages were degrading, dirty, insulting, and inappropriate by any measure, and stressed that repeated nature of harassment meant the case had already crossed the custody threshold. However, after considering mitigating factors, the court imposed a 6-week prison term, suspended for 2 years, along with 12 months of probation. Whitaker was also ordered to be of good behavior towards the woman. The chief magistrate warned him that any further offending, whether related to the victim or involving new offenses, would result in immediate imprisonment. Ethel Del Bodden has had her trial postponed due to ongoing health concerns. She's accused of theft involving tens of thousands of dollars allegedly taken from her employer. The trial was rescheduled on Friday after her counsel informed the court that Ms. Bodden remains hospitalized, with her doctor reporting no signs of improvement. The matter is now expected to head to the docks towards the end of March. She remains on bail until then. Arik Angel Ebanks is set to face 2 separate trials in the coming months. On Friday, he entered not guilty pleas to charges of aggravated burglary and burglary. The case relates to an incident on the 15th of November in which he's alleged to have entered a restaurant as a trespasser, stealing various items along with a US $5 note worth approximately $4.20 CI at the current bank conversion rate. It's also alleged that he had a knife while committing the offense. Mr. Ebanks will stand trial before a jury of 7 on the 7th of July, with a case management conference scheduled for the 7th of May. Before that, he's also due to stand trial on a separate robbery charge on the 30th of March. He remains in custody awaiting both trials. You're listening to Radio Cayman's latest local news. Cayman's brightest young instrumental soloist did something very hard today. They braved the Harkwell stage alone, performing select pieces at this year's Secondary School National Children Festival of the Arts competition. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more from the Harkwell Theatre.
2026 NCFA adjudications in Grand Cayman. We had in Kilmarnock on Friday. And this week is all of our secondary or high school adjudications.
Cello, violin, piano, trombone. More than 30 students from across Grand Cayman brought out their A game in a bid to snag a gold medal and a spot at this year's Young Musician of the Year Award, sponsored by Butterfield. With some big pieces today, the kids got a chance to get instant feedback from the judges, who want to help the students bring out the best of their talent.
These pieces are pieces that require interpretation and understanding the piece from its inception, where it comes from, what it's about.
Veteran and competitor Jude Solomon took the NCFA stage for the last time this morning, performing Elegy on cello after his music school recital on Sunday, followed up by his performance in Cayman Arts Festival's Future Phobia concert in the evening.
It went pretty good, honestly. I woke up with not a lot of time to spare just because I was very busy from the few days before, but it went pretty good. I did some light practice in the morning, and I think I played about as good as I could have, at least with the preparation I'd done.
Is this going to be your last year, you think?
Yeah, I'm going to the UK.
And are you
going to
be doing music?
No, I'll be doing natural science, but I'll make sure to stay active in music.
For others, it was an opportunity to have fun sharing their love of music and get some onstage experience, albeit with perhaps a little bit of nerves.
So this was your first NCFA.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was quite stressful on going on stage because it's very quiet in there because everyone's really respectful of you. At first, I was like really shaky, but then I got into the flow and it felt good.
How was it like to be on that really nice piano?
The piano felt amazing and had beautiful dynamics.
The way I practiced, there's certain things when I played up there, but I still came back.
And it also looked like you were having fun up there.
Yes.
I feel like I played my piece really well, and the vibe was just really good.
What about the other performers? There was some pretty cool stuff up there today.
There were so many cool performances, like the Wii theme. There was Claire de Lune. It was so many cool pieces, and they were all so incredible.
Reporting for Radio K-Man News from the Harkwell Theater, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. The competition continues tomorrow with the ensemble violinists. Cayman Airways is drawing a clear line between what you can bring and what you can actually use on board when it comes to portable power. Radio Cayman's April Cummings reports.
Starting February 17th, external battery chargers, including power banks and power packs, can still be carried onto Cayman Airways flights, but there are some strict new rules. The airline says these devices must stay powered off at all times and cannot be used or charged during the flight. They also cannot be stowed in overhead bins or in any seat back pockets. Instead, passengers will have to keep them on their person while in the cabin. Power banks and similar lithium battery packs are also completely prohibited in checked baggage. Cayman Airways says the policy follows a rise in aircraft cabin fire incidents worldwide involving lithium battery-powered devices, and the new rules align with international dangerous goods regulations. The airline says the steps are about maintaining the highest safety standards and giving passengers peace of mind when they fly. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. Finally, head to East End this week and join the country as it marks the 232nd anniversary of the wreck of the Ten Sails.
The fleet sailed from Jamaica on the 6th of February, 1794, but leaky merchantmen delayed its progress, so Convert's officers did not sight Grand Cayman before sunset on the 7th of February. At midnight, when Master Thomas Popplewell reckoned that the fleet was clear of Grand Cayman, he obtained Captain Lawford's permission to shift the convoy's course more to the northward. The voyage ended in the early morning hours of the 8th of February, 1794, when a disastrous chain of events resulted in the loss of Convert in 9 ships of her merchant convoy on the treacherous windward reefs of Grand Cayman.
Audio there from the National Museum's 2020 speaker series with Dr. Peggy Denton.
Captain Lawford endeavored to save Convert's passengers and crew, and with the help of the island's inhabitants, few lives were lost. However, Captain Daniel Martin of the wrecked merchant ship Britannia was one of at least 8 people who drowned.
There is a monument to the wreck in East End, and you can explore John Doak's drawing of the wreck featured at the museum's The Sea in History exhibition. That's your latest local news. From the Radio Cayman Newsroom, I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a good evening.